the Godhead, the part of the mind Krishna, who was sought by great sages for the sake of liberation and transcendental bliss, is acting as your best well-wisher, your friend, your cousin, your heart and soul, your worshipable director, and your spiritual master. Purport. Krishna can become the director and the spiritual master of anyone who is serious about getting the mercy of Krishna. The Lord sends the spiritual master to train a devotee, and when the devotee is advanced, the Lord acts as the spiritual master within his heart. Tesham satadayuktanam vajatam putipurvakam tadami buddhiyogantam enamam abhyantita. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Krishna does not become the direct spiritual master unless one is fully trained by his representative spiritual master. Therefore, as we have already discussed, the Lord's representative spiritual master should not be considered an ordinary human being. The representative spiritual master never gives any false knowledge to his disciple, but only perfect knowledge. Thus, he is the representative of Krishna. Krishna helps as the guru or spiritual master from within and from without. From without, he helps the devotee as his representative, and from within, he talks personally with the pure devotee and gives him instructions by which he may return home back to Godhead. Translation: how wonderful it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the part of Brahma and Krishna, who was sought by great sages for the sake of liberation and transcendental bliss, is acting as your best well-wisher, your friend, your cousin, your heart and soul, your worshipable director, and your spiritual master. Om Abhyam Tamanandasya Inam Yina Shalakaya Chakshadamunitam Jaya Tasmaya Sivadayana Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Shakutam Jaya Bhutale Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita
Shivasani Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Om Mahatam Shrama Padam Tati Kanakuti Keshava Dilat Kanakalachana Dilatam. This chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. And it is essentially a conversation between Narada Muni and King Yudhishthira. Narada Muni is giving instructions to Maharaj Yudhishthira. And actually the whole seventh canto, for the most part, I think except for 12 or 13 of the first verses, which is a discussion between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit. For the most part, this whole seventh canto is a talk between Narada Muni and King Yudhishthira, in which Narada Muni is replying to the original question by Maharaj Yudhishthira, as to why the Lord, who is generally described as equal towards all living entities, is sometimes seen as partial to his devotees. It takes him 15 chapters. Of course, he answers it very quickly in the beginning, but he elaborates on this point. So essential is this point that Krishna is favorable to his devotees. Bhakti Vatsala, he loves his devotees, he favors his devotees, he helps his devotees overcome all obstacles of material life and achieve the spiritual world. That is discussed, it is the discussion of the entire seventh canto, more or less. This is a very important point. Of course, Krishna is equal towards all living entities. He describes in Bhagavad Gita that he is the seed-giving father of all living entities. So naturally, he maintains every living entity. Nitya nitya nam chaitanas chaitananam ekabhanam yodhidhati kamar. It's described in the Upanishads that of all the living entities, eternal nitya nitya nam chaitanas chaitanam, out of all the eternal living beings, there is Eka, there is one, who is maintaining desires of everyone. And the oft-quoted example, the, probably one of the examples which we hear most in Srimad Bhagavatam classes, is that of the elephant and the ant. That by the Lord's grace, the ant is getting his one little granule of sugar every day, and the elephant is getting one ton of hay. Prabhupada said they are not going to the factory to work for the maintenance, but by the grace of the Lord, these things are being provided. God is equal to all. Man also receives the basic necessities of life without extraneous endeavor by the mercy of God. What are the essentials of life? Essentials like earth, air, fire, water. We cannot claim to have created these things. We can create so many things, but we can only do so with the basic elements. Therefore, Prabhupada said, we cannot claim proprietorship over anything, because everything is borrowed from the Lord. These essential things of life are given by God, and it would be good for people to reflect from time to time how they are being worshipfully maintained. Nowadays, we tend to think that the most essential things in life are computers and cellular phones. When I was a new Govardhan, every 5 minutes, beep, beep, beep. Every TP had a cellular phone. Actually, in America, nowadays, just to attend a university, one of the requisites of going to university, you have to have a computer, don't you? They don't accept you unless you have a computer and you know how to use the software, some word processing. Even to be a sannyasi in our movement, you have to have a danda, a common dana, a water pot, and a Toshiba Pentium computer. Otherwise, you can't make the grade. Can't keep in touch. Cyberspace. Earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, false ego, and cyberspace. Actually, the other day, Kalasambari proudly told me that I'm the only temple president in Australasia who doesn't have a computer or cellular phone. Kalasambari Prabhu Ki. He's such an expert manager. His brain is so intricate, like a computer. He doesn't need all this. Faster than a Toshiba Pentium. It's all right, no problem. So my initial reaction when I heard this was, how's this possible? How can it be a TP in a Western country like Australasia not have a computer and a cellular phone? As if life depended on it. Nitya nitya nam, chaitanas chaitanam, nam, ekobahanam. Computer and cellular phones. We tend to ignore that actually the real essentials of life are something we actually couldn't do without. Even Kalash couldn't do without earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, false ego. Something so simple as air. We forget. Krishna's created the air. We didn't produce it in the factory. Not the scientists who are producing volumes and volumes of air and selling it. Yeah. Just think for a moment, how would you do without air? How God's maintaining. Just do without air for a few moments. Everyone hold their breath. Don't you? So how long you can go on with that without just holding your breath? Not for a moment. I think they they say 4 minutes and 30 seconds. So this way we can appreciate Nitya Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitanam, Ekabhama. The Lord is actually equal to all other entities. Yet at the same time, and this is the question which was originally posed at the beginning of 7th Canto by Maharaj Yudhishthira. If the Lord is equal towards all living entities, then why is He partial to some? If He's equal, it appears that He's giving some partiality to some devotees. But what is the nature? Why is this? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, I envy no one, no more partial to anyone, I'm equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me is a friend, and I'm also a friend to him. And the classic example which Srila Prabhupada would always give is that of man. Man is created in the image of God, so although life in this material world is much of a perverted reflection, still, if we look carefully, we can see the cause and the effect. Within anything, you can see the cause and the effect. Whatever is produced from an original thing, you can see the nature of the artist in the painting or the sculpture. So we can also see God within this material creation. Bhaktivinoda Thakura described the material as a dictionary to the spiritual world. If we're trained by a bona fide spiritual master, we can perceive the existence of God, His opulence, which give an indication of Him even within this material world. So, Prabhupada used to give the example of a family man. A family man, he has his children, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you're Catholic, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. In Poland, you see. And all the families, you know, they have big families. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many brothers and sisters? You have 6 brothers, 10 sisters. The Catholics, of course. The Mormons also. The Mormon faith is one of the fastest growing faiths in the world. I ask why? Because they each have 10 children. So a family man, he has different children, then he's naturally inclined towards all of them. He doesn't think, I won't send this one to university, I'll only send this one. He wants to help each and one of them. It's a natural inclination, at least it used to be. Nowadays you're lucky if you make it out of your mother's womb. But ideally, father's naturally inclined. But if one of the children makes a special effort to please the father, like on his birthday or something, or, the kid takes money from the father's wallet, even he goes and takes money from the father's wallet and goes downtown and buys him a tie which the father doesn't even like. It's the wrong color, the wrong arrangement. Still he comes back. Even if the father doesn't like the tie, even the fact that the son took the money from the father, still, the act, it was the intention that was appreciated. So similarly, all the living entities that the Lord is maintaining, if some living entity comes to the point of just wanting to reciprocate a little bit, oh, thanks for that gulp of air, thanks for the earth, the fire, the water, thanks for the intelligence by which I can perceive you and understand you. If one begins to reciprocate a little bit with the Lord like that, then the Lord becomes naturally inclined to that person. And what can we really offer the Lord? Everything belongs to Him. We're only thinking, I'm offering this to the Lord. This is mine giving it to Krishna. But it's Krishna's. The analogy is given to the Ganges, that to worship the Ganges, you take Ganges' water and offer it back to the Ganges. To worship the sun, you offer a candle. So anything that we offer to the Lord in this world, what is the most essential ingredient? Even if it's a diamond, or a ruby, or a pearl, something considered relatively more precious in this world, it's nothing unless there's the bhakti there. That is what Krishna actually sees. That's what he actually accepts. It's a devotion of his devotee. Because just look at the medium by which we're serving Krishna. We think, yes, I offer my body, my mind, and my soul to you, my Lord. What is this body? We're going to offer our body to the Lord. What is this body? It's a bag of bones and mucus, bile, stool, urine. My Lord, please accept this. Krishna is so kind. Then he accepts the offering through this medium. Even he purified the body. You begin to offer the purified. We must always understand that we may purify, but you can never really purify this body. Like you can never in Vedic culture purify a pot that is contaminated by wine. You can scuttle with cow dung till kingdom come, but it doesn't really purify. It's considered impure. What does it mean, body? If even blood touches, what does it think of wine? If blood touches an object, you can throw it out. There's this little thin wrapping of this body, and underneath is just disgusting. So, we shall always remember what we're trying to purify, really, because we're making the best use of the bad body in this body. The medium by which we're offering to Krishna is disgusting. So what we really have to purify is the consciousness. The consciousness is symptomatic of the soul. The consciousness is now impure due to association with the modes of material nature. But the consciousness you can purify, because the consciousness is of another nature. The consciousness is of the spiritual nature, essentially. Now it's polluted, but unlike the body, which can never be really purified. The only way you can really purify the body is to turn it into ashes. That's why in Vedic culture, when one dies, the body is burned, and the ashes, it's as close as you can get to purification. The body turns to fire. Fire is the means of purification. But the consciousness we can do with that. So when we're actually serving Krishna, it's not enough that we just go through the mechanics of offering the body and the rituals to the Lord. The real thing is the consciousness. What is the state of consciousness when serving the Lord? We want to be Krishna conscious. And therefore we have to purify that consciousness. You can't take soap and scrub your mind. When we were little kids, you know, mother used to say, well, if you talk like that one more time, I'm going to scrub your tongue with soap. You can't take a bar of soap and scrub your mind. You can't take a bar, you can't swallow a bar of soap in order to purify your heart. The only way we can actually purify that consciousness is through mantra. Mantra is a very, very powerful medium. And each mantra has a particular cleansing effect. Because our hearts are so dirty, we need a Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
That can actually cleanse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can cleanse the heart of all this impurity. And then, when we offer, by the grace of the Maha Mantra, when we offer our offering to Krishna, it's absolutely purified. So Krishna accepts the offerings of his. He's naturally inclined to one who wants to serve him. He's naturally inclined. He wants to reciprocate with that natural love of his devotee. He's attracted to that. He's attracted to that loving devotion more than anything else. Bhaktam Krishnam Phalam Toyam. Even if you just offer something so simple as a leaf, of course, it's also it's not simple as a leaf, but. Now you just take a flower. If it's permeated with that love, Krishna's very inclined. He notices immediately. And the example is being given today by Narada Muni of the Pandavas. It's most appropriate. The Pandava brothers, how the Lord reciprocated with the Pandava brothers. And Kunti Devi and Draupadi, they're all unalloyed devotees of the Lord. For Krishna's pleasure, they put themselves through the most trying circumstances. Actually, the Pandavas were the rightful heirs to the throne, but we know the story, how they were usurped from their position by Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, and others. And as a result, they had to live in exile for 14 years. And the real reason they wanted to rule the throne was not for some personal reason, but because they wanted to rule religiously, righteously, on behalf of the Lord. This was their service to Krishna. This was their offering. their offering was to rule the kingdom of Krishna consciousness with more than a leaf or a flower. It was something very exalted. Because they made that attempt to serve the Lord, that was their sin in the eyes of the gurus. Because for those who are not Krishna conscious, it's a sin to serve the Lord. This is their perverted mentality. They always see things backwards, back to front. For us, a sin is disobedience to the laws of the Lord. For them, the conception of sin is to obey the Lord. So for that sin of wanting to serve God righteously, they're exiled for 14 years. And the dangers which they had to encounter on behalf of Krishna, the sacrifice they made for Krishna, are described by Queen Kunti in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. She says, "My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poison cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from a vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from battles where great generals fought. And you also saved us from the weapon of Ashwatthama." In other words, they sacrificed so much to the Lord. Sacrifice means to give up my own comfort on behalf of the Lord, my own sense gratification for the pleasure of the Lord. For that sacrifice, they purchased Krishna with their life. And as a result, the Lord became their well-wisher, he became their friend, he became their heart and soul, he became, as Prabhupada elaborates on this point mainly, he became their director and their spiritual master. Because of that sacrifice that they made. So Prabhupada comments that anyone who is actually serious about getting Krishna's mercy, he will get Krishna's mercy if he makes that effort. And the Lord will become his director and his spiritual master. Prabhupada said, the Lord helps the devotee in two ways. Through the agency of the spiritual master and directly from the heart. Of course, the first way the Lord helps the devotee is from within the heart. When the Lord detects a little interest in Krishna consciousness on the part of the living entity, he immediately responds. Even if one approaches the Lord with some personal motivation, Krishna says, four types of persons begin to render devotional service to me. Those who are in distress, those who are looking for money, the inquisitive, and those who are looking for knowledge. One is encouraged, even in that initial state, with that type of motivation you approach the Lord, he's encouraged. Not much, really, is it? Because actually, we're taught a much higher standard of devotional service. Savai pum sham para dharmo yatra bhakti radhaksaji haitukiya patiyata yayatma supasivati. The supreme occupation for all men is that by which they can attain to unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. Such devotional service must be aitakiya patiyata, must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. And Sri Rupa Goswami has also described what type of devotional service we should offer the Lord ultimately. But the Lord is so kind to the aspiring devotee that he'll even accept that impure attempt to achieve him, with the hopes that in due course of time, one's motivation will become purified. We often give the example that in the initial stage, if a young child is trying to walk, it's very attractive to the parents. The child makes his first step and says his first word. Mama, Papa, oh look, he said it one day. But if the child's still struggling to speak after 20 years, Mama, Papa, he's considered an imbecile. Or if he's still trying to walk after 25 years, and the parents say, uh-oh, there's something wrong here. So initially we come to the Lord with an impure motivation. Out of distress only, we want to please solve my problems, please give me money. I'm curious, what is this? Give me a little beyond. That's all right. But after some time, the devotee is supposed to come to higher stages of devotional service. I have to give them to you. Just to serve the Lord for the Lord's pleasure. Knowing the Lord, nitya nitya nam chaitanya, he'll look after me, yoga kshim and bahami ham, whatever I need, he'll provide, whatever I have, he'll protect. So, in our sojourn through the material existence, at some point we come to this for whatever reason it may be, we may approach the Lord. The Lord immediately takes advantage of that. Like it's a small little interest within our heart. He fans it. Just like when you're making a fire. In the old days, you rub the two sticks together, you get a little spark. You blow on it, get it going. It's a raging fire. So as soon as Krishna detects within our heart a slight inclination towards devotional service, no matter how fallen one is, he fans that fire, fans that fire, fans that fire. Doesn't matter. If a person born in a Brahmin family with all good opportunities never has an inclination towards Krishna, then he may never become Krishna conscious. But if the most fallen person, for whatever reason it may be, shows the slightest interest, he has every chance of becoming a Lord. Krishna will fan the fire of the Chandala, and the Yavana, and the Lecha, and the Rakshasa, even Rakshasas, man-eaters, cannibals, can also become Krishna conscious. If they're fortunate for some reason or other to have just show some interest in Krishna consciousness. That's an ethics, actually, in medicine. It's called, when there's life, there's hope. That even if there's the most tragic accident, somebody's wheeled into the emergency room, the most tragic accident, the doctor doesn't go, I'm not going to bother with this case. No, he looks. Is there a heartbeat? Oh, immediately. He works like that. When there's life, there's hope. Any good doctor will see like that. Similarly, the Lord, if he sees the slightest interest, oh Krishna, what? Kamal Krishna Rai told this story the other day in Govardhana. I heard him say it on several occasions. That if you just once say the name Krishna, Krishna marks that down. He follows you, he tracks you down until you become his devotee. Even if you just say it, unconscious of all those Hare Krishna. You're a marked man. You may not see the mark. Like we mark our foreheads. Yes, I'm devoted to Krishna. Krishna makes the mark. Like they have that special type of ink. Remember in the old days in rock concerts? They put some kind of cream or a little pen over your finger, like your hand like that. You couldn't see anything. You put it under a fluorescent, some kind of light would shine bright. So you just say, this Hare Krishna movement, Krishna tracks you down, he follows you. Maybe not in this lifetime. He may have to track you down through so many different species of life. He'll get you when you say his name. He takes it like that. So as soon as the Lord detects a little interest in him, then he makes the arrangement to begin enlightening that devotee, how to come back home. So the first expression of that Lord's mercy is what? He places us in the association of his devotees. This is the first expression of his mercy. Sometimes a devotee may, a neophyte, young devotee may think, my God, is Krishna even though I exist? Little me, Bhakti, Martha, Dr. Bill. Does Krishna know that I exist? I haven't done anything. All these big GBCs, but little old me, what's my hope? But we can already know that if we're in the association of the devotees, we receive the favorable glance of the Lord. If we are living in the association of the devotees, because only by the devotees' mercy can we achieve Krishna. So if he places us in the association of devotees, we can know we receive the merciful glance of Krishna. If we're taking shelter of the devotees and the devotee's spiritual master, we make gradual progress. And Doshadha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Tavajanakriya, Nartanavitisya. In their association, we become purified. And as Prabhupada says very clearly in his purport, at one stage, when you become very advanced, the Lord, he may also give you instruction from within your heart. He may directly talk to you. Tesham satyadipanam bhajatam pratipurvikam tatami buddhiyogam naram yanamayam. To those who constantly serve me with love and devotion, I give the understanding of wisdom and compassion. So at some point in our devotional service, whatever steps are necessary, Krishna will say, go left, go right, jump up, go down, do this, that can happen. Very advanced stage, but the Lord will give us direction like that. One time, Rameshwara Prabhu was with Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was doing a television, a newspaper interview. And the reporter said something like, you know, well, you're the spiritual master of this Hare Krishna movement. Does the Lord talk to you directly? So Rameshwara thought that was a little bit, you know, confidential, a little bit deep. You know? And he said, well, he just kind of took over. And he said, well, actually, you know, the devotee of the Lord, he knows what the Lord desires through the Shastras and through the instructions of the previous spiritual master. This is how we understand. Good answer. Prabhupada said, he said, no, Krishna talks to me directly. He gives me instructions what to do, how to push on this movement. So Rameshwara, he thought maybe the reporter didn't hear it, but he thought maybe it wasn't. He said, oh, the scriptures, and Prabhupada says, no, Krishna tells me directly. So that's a perfect example of this purport. Krishna can become the director and spiritual master of anyone who is serious about getting his mercy. The Lord sends the spiritual master to train the devotee, and when the devotee is advanced, the Lord acts as his direct spiritual master from within his heart. So, of course, we cannot imitate such a stage, and yet neither should we. Because the Lord is always ready to give that direction within our heart. But the problem is, we may not be ready to receive that instruction. We may not be able to hear that instruction properly. Examples have been given of that. Just like when you try to turn into a radio program, sometimes there's that static. I listen to BBC or something, you're far away. You just can't get it down here in the South Island, New Zealand. So similarly, the neophyte devotee tries to tune in to the super soul due to the false ego. He may not hear the instruction clearly. He may think that what he's hearing is Krishna consciousness. But because he's very contaminated, therefore the risk is there, he may not understand. Even Krishna says to Arjuna once, after the whole Bhagavad Gita has been spoken, he said, now you can act. And if you act according to your false ego, you're lost. Whereas if you follow my instructions, everything will be successful. So although the Lord is there in the heart, we know the size of the thumb, pretty big. He's there, and he's ready to give that instruction. Because of our impure condition, we may not be in a position to hear, to assimilate, or act properly. Therefore, the Lord manifests externally as his representative, the spiritual master. So we may think, well, I'd like Krishna to speak to me directly. That would be very nice. But anyway, there's no difference. The instructions of the spiritual master, if they're based on the instructions of the previous group, they're based on the acharya, and they're perfectly in line with the previous sadhus and the scripture, then it's just as if Krishna is sitting speaking to you personally. Because all of his instructions are valid for every single conditioned soul, because the disease of conditioned life is very similar. Just like when they try to analyze a disease, there's many common factors in the disease. And by, you know, finding out the cure for that disease, anyone who has that disease is cured. So the basic disease of the living entity is enviousness towards God. That is the cardinal sin that the Christians speak about. We put it in a more poetic form, a more story-like form, big fish, little fish. There's a big fish, and there's a little fish, the little fish gets envious, the big fish, he wants to become the big fish, becomes material, to swim in the ocean of your existence. But that enviousness towards God is the cardinal sin of the living entity. And it is the duty of the spiritual master to change that envy, which is nothing more than perverted love, to turn that into love again. To again change it into love for the Lord. To purify it into love for the Lord. So we cannot hear the Lord in our heart, so therefore he manifests. So therefore the spiritual master Prabhupada is not considered normal man. Because he is the representative of the Lord. One should think, again, not only if I come into the association of devotees as Krishna's grace been upon me, but if I take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master who's repeating the instructions of the Lord and setting the example of his servant, then I receive Krishna's mercy. Brahmanda Brahmatikon, Bhagavanji, Guru Krishna Prashad, Pari Bhakti Lata beings, living entities wandering through so many different species of life, through so many Brahmandas, through so many universes. And if he comes in contact with the Lord and his devotee who can deliver, he's considered extremely fortunate. He has the means to extradite himself out of material existence. Not an easy thing. Daiyesha Gunamai Mama Maya Dharatya. Very difficult. But the grace of the devotee spiritual master and the Lord, the combined mercy, Guru Krishna Prasad, this is stated very wonderfully. Guru Krishna Prasad. Prasad doesn't just mean that, you know, the Guru gives us Prasad. Prasad, the actual translation of Prasad is mercy. And mercy comes in many ways. So much mercy. We're actually surrounded by mercy. We live in an ocean of mercy in Krishna consciousness. It's up to us to take the advantage of that. So, anyone who wants to, who aspires to progress in this path of Krishna consciousness, he must begin from this point. Not that one should be so foolish as to say, oh, the Lord is telling me what to do. Or as David Maitamaraj, I heard him say, the voice within is telling me, this is like the New Age philosophy, right? I don't need a guru. I need a guru for it. The Lord's in my heart. I can hear that voice from within. That's what does it sound like when it goes through the lust, that layer of lust, that layer of anger, that layer of greed? What does it come out like? What does it sound like when it goes through all that? And your mind is getting. This is one of Deva Mita Maharaj's essential points in his preaching, that we can't just listen to the voice within. The voice within manifests from the voice without. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakti. The lotus now of the spiritual master. It's no mistake. You may make a mistake when it filters through your false ego. But when it comes directly from your spiritual master, there's no question. And therefore, we should take the words of our spiritual master as the words of Krishna. And have full faith. Yasya Devi Para Bhaktir Yatra Devi Tata Guru. One who has full faith in the Lord and the spiritual master, a full input of Vedic knowledge is revealed. The process begins when we come in contact with the devotees and we accept one of those devotees as our spiritual master. The principle is so important that even when Krishna comes to this material world, just to set the example, he also accepts a spiritual master, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's God himself, accepted spiritual master. When he accepted his sannyas guru, Keshav Bharti Maharaj, Prabhupada describes there were no sannyasi gurus present, so he went to the only guru around nearby was Keshav Bharti, who was a full-fledged Mayavadi. So he went to him for sannyas mantra. Keshav Bharti Maharaj was a bit overwhelmed at the whole event, the whole aura of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he said, how I can become your guru? You're the guru of everyone. You're the Adi Guru. Whoever's a guru can only follow you. One's qualification for being guru is that he's your perfect disciple. The disciple becomes the guru later. How I can become your guru? Mahaprabhu replied, don't get mental about this. Have you take some rest? You just have to do this. And he said, Keshav Bharti, you know the mantra you're supposed to give me? Keshav Bharti said, no. I don't know the mantra. I'm Mayavadi, Shankaracharya. I am you and you are me and we are all together. All passes. And he said, I'll give you, you come here, I'll tell you the mantra to give me. So he whispered, you can't say it, but you know, Lawrence knows the mantra. He whispered the sannyas mantra in the Keshavadi's ear. And in this way, he actually initiated Keshavadi. Keshavadi was supposed to be his guru, sannyas guru. He actually initiated Keshavadi. So then Keshavadi then said, I'll give you the mantra back. And Keshavadi, in this way, Mahaprabhu took sannyas. So sometimes the question arises, you know, why did Mahaprabhu take sannyas from a Maya body? There was no one else around, so because it's a formality in one sense, sannyas, you now sort of, you know. But Vaishnava sannyas is very special. It's not meant for becoming one with God, it's meant for becoming one in the interest of God, body, mind, and soul dedicated to the service of God. So Mahaprabhu, there was no one else to take, so he, why did he take? He just took because that's all there was available. But if we understand the how the pastime actually unfolded, you can understand he didn't receive a Maya body. He actually gave his mercy. Whatever the Lord does is for the purification of everyone himself. Your glance or the touch of your nails, however I come in contact with you, my Lord, you may glance favorably over me, or I may receive your hot claws in my chest. But anyway, I'm going to become purified by coming in contact with you. So Keshavardi got purified. I became purified. So the point is, the initial point we're making, was that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted spiritual ministry. And it wasn't until he accepted the Vaishnava mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 from his Diksha Guru, Ishwara Puri, that he actually began manifesting symptoms of God. This is why Prabhupada said that the Hare Krishna mantra is all powerful. Anyone can benefit from chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
But the full potency of that mantra is only awoken when we receive that mantra in Guru Parampara. Therefore, initiation is essential. We must take initiation. Initiation means that we're given the blessing, the authorization to chant Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. It's like many things, you cannot do them, you cannot really do them unless you're authorized. You may open up a practice as a medical practitioner, and you know, you may have all the knowledge, etc., etc., but they'll take you to court as a criminal, unless you've got a degree, unless you're authorized by a medical institution to practice. The same thing with law. You can, you know, open it, but you know, there's going to be no real effect if you open up a law practice unless the government recognizes you as an authorized lawyer. In other words, it has to be sanctioned. Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is authorized. That's why it works. Authorized means it's blessed, it's sanctioned by the Lord. And through that medium, he accepts service. Not that one can just concoct, I'll serve the Lord like this or no. The Lord wants to be served in a particular way. He has his likes and dislikes because he's a sentient being, he's the person. And through the various sampradayas, he speaks how he'll be served, his pleasure. So if you link up with one of those sampradayas, especially this Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, you can be sure and certain that what you're doing is pleasing the Lord. That's what he authorized. So linking up means taking Vaishnava Diksha. And then when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna, that's my devotee. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
And then we see the full effect is there. Mahaprabhu, he took that mantra. He came to bring the mantra. But he heard the mantra through the lips of his spiritual master, Ishwara Puri. And then he began manifesting the full symptoms of that. He came to the stage of perfection. So, this is not to diminish the importance of chanting Hare Krishna. As we quoted yesterday, Haridas Thakur said, anyone, even the immovables who can't chant, if they can just hear the mantra, they can get delivered. How wonderful that is. But what is the ultimate liberation? They may get liberated in the sense that they get another chance to perform devotional service, not necessarily that by hearing Hare Krishna, they're going to go back to God in their next lifetime. But they'll get another opportunity to perform devotional service. That'll go to their spiritual bank account, never lost. Then another, and gradually their spiritual bank account becomes manifest, then full qualification. So one must come. This is described by Sri Rupa Goswami. That one must take this initiative. This is the theme of Bhagavad Gita, while we're speaking about that. And we take that Vaishnava Diksha, and then, by chanting that mantra under the authorization of the Guru quickly, we can see when the devotee takes initiation, so rapid is the progress of Krishna consciousness. If we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
so one last point. The question may arise that if later in our spiritual lives the Lord is prepared, Tesham Satyayutanam Bhajatam Pitipurvam, the Dhammi Puri Yoga, the Dhammi, to give us instructions in bhakti, then someone may say that what would we need of having a spiritual master? That if I advance to the point, profound point that Krishna also helps to develop. Well, how to answer this question? The first point is that Krishna will only help us when he's pleased with our service and surrender to our Guru. That's a very important point. He'll only agree to help us if he sees that we're properly serving his representative. It's like if you blaspheme the ambassador and you try to get a visa to go to the United States of America, forget it. The whole criteria you can go into America is based on, you know, your attitude towards the ambassador. Who is that devotee? Oh, Siddhartha. One aspiring devotee in South Africa. Some years ago in Nairobi, he's about 25 now, but some years ago in Nairobi, he was a bit of a hothead, a bit of a smart aleck. He went to he wanted to go for a trip to America or something, so he went to the embassy and they were asking some questions. He was very wealthy, his parents were fabulously rich. So he was thinking, oh, question, I'm rich, what are you pressing me for? I'm gonna go to your country. I'm a benefit to your country. Yeah, don't talk to me like that. You know who I am? Siddhartha Lakhani. Boy, I wasn't that. And then he said, you can't speak like that to me. Who are you? You're just some secretary behind there, you stupid secretary. Yeah. Give me a visa to America. You know who I am? Siddhartha Lakhani. Blacklisted. So you get out of here. See, the Marines, I have the Marine Guards came and threw him out on his head. Boing. So that was like 10 years ago. Now, whenever he goes to the embassy to try to get a visa, they say, get out. They have the Marines come and throw him out of his head. It's true. You cannot get a visa now. Because he offended, you know, one secretary. He wasn't even the ambassador. He was just some secretary behind the... That just shows us, Vaishnava Parat. They were let Prabhupada say to Brahmananda, you give the lecture about the 10 offenses. So Brahmananda began. First offense, the holy name is to blaspheme. Devotees who have dedicated their lives to Krishna and glories of the Lord. So this means Sri Prabhupada. We should not offend Sri Prabhupada, the spiritual master of the Lord. Not just the spiritual master. It means any devotee who dedicated his life to spreading the glories of the Lord. You can't offend him. So one thinks that he can achieve the mercy of Krishna. And what is that mercy of Krishna? Tesham Satyayutanam. Vajatam Pratipa, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogamtam, instruction, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogamtam, how to achieve the platform of pure devotion. If one thinks he can achieve that mercy of Krishna without the mercy of the Vaishnava, he doesn't understand. Chariya Vaishnava Seva. Who has ever been delivered without the mercy of the Vaishnava? No one. Therefore, Jesus said, no one comes but to the Father but through me. He's speaking to his own disciples. He was just saying, no one, none of you, some of his own disciples, you need guru. So they take it some other way. some sectarian concept. No one comes to Jesus, but the principle is that Krishna is pleased when we please this person. That's how we see Krishna's favor. So if one thinks that I'll get to the point where Krishna will speak to me by actually being my spiritual, then you lose both the mercy of Krishna and you. But it's intertwined, intimately intertwined. Mercy of Guru Krishna. Brahmandam Bhagavati Kho, Bhagavanji, Guru Krishna Prasad, Bhagavati. Because we please the representative, he enlightens us through it. Yene bhakta jana partha, name bhaktas, chate jana, vad bhakta nam, jaye bhaktas, yene bhakta nanamata. My dear partha, one who claims to be my devotee, not so. Only a person who claims to be the devotee of my devotee is not so my devotee. That's one way to answer that question. The last point I'd like to make is that what is actually the goal of the spiritual master's instructions? The goal of our spiritual master's instructions is to place us securely to the lotus feet of Krishna. We should hope, against hope, in our hearts, we should pray that our Guru Maharaj will be so kind as to deliver us to the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the goal. That one day Krishna will say, welcome. There's that wonderful story. We have Bhagavatamrita. Gopal Kumar. By the mercy of his Guru Maharaj, he went through so many, he saw different devotees in different regions and different states of devotion, and then finally, by the mercy of his spiritual master, he comes back to the spiritual world, and Krishna embraces him. There's that famous picture by Sharma. We see Krishna embracing Gopal Kumar, he's come home. So that is the service of the spiritual master. Spiritual master doesn't think, really, this is my disciple. He's thinking, this is Krishna's lost soul. This is Krishna's lost servant. I have some knowledge. Let me help that person achieve his beloved. Spiritual master never puts a claim on. Of course, out of a sense of duty and responsibility, he thinks, this is my disciple. But in the ultimate sense, he's thinking, this is Krishna's child. Almost like older brother. But the disciple doesn't think that. All living entities are Krishna's parts and parcels. So in the order of my spiritual master, I'm taking this position to be some instruction. And my goal, just like at the moment of initiation, the disciple, he takes vows. No meeting, no intoxication, no sickness. 10, 16 rounds. But the spiritual master is also committed to the relationship. What is the commitment? As the disciple is committed, Guru must also be committed. And his commitment is that I will take you to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. And then surely you will be delivered. If I can deliver you to the lotus feet of my Guru Maharaj, who's the only source of whatever limited strength I have, by his unlimited strength, you will deliver from material existence. And the ultimate goal is what? To go back home, back to Godhead. So it should not be surprising if one day Krishna speaks to the devotee. But even in the spiritual world, the relationship, Janme Janme Kar will say, within this world, it's eternal. And also in the spiritual world, we also have spiritual master. Maybe the relationship's not exactly like it is in this material world, in the sense that he's delivering us from ignorance. So it's more like we're assisting our spiritual master in serving Krishna. So the spiritual master will be pleased with us, that Krishna's giving us some favor, some mercy. So it's not surprising that Krishna, that one day speak to the devotee, gives him instruction. But he does so when he's pleased with our service to his representative. Intertwined. It's so wonderful, actually. The Lord, spiritual master, the disciple, the Vaishnavas, all one, entwined, like one spiritual family, helping each other. Now I come to that course, says, Hari Guru Vaishnav, Bhagavata Gita. The point is that there's the Lord, there's the spiritual master, there's the Vaishnavas also. not complete unless we mention the Vaishnavas. Just as one cannot understand Krishna without the mercy of the Guru, and similarly, one cannot fathom or appreciate or imbibe all the instructions of one's Guru without the mercy of one's brothers, and one's sisters, and one's nephews, cousins, and so forth. Just as I was thinking about that the other day when we were on the first day of this year-long Vyasa Puja celebration for Śrīla Prabhupāda. Śrīla Prabhupāda's centennial key.
Die.
That it was so wonderful, you know, hearing Mukunda Maharaj and hearing Prabhupada Vishnu Maharaj, they were the speakers. And hearing at the end we'd all spoken, and there was the Manavisa Prabhupada said, so now we go on to the DVT of voice and really say, I can't go into the BBT Awards yet. He said, no, we're 3 hours and a half behind. And I said, no, we're not going to go to the BBT Awards. When I follow up as dearmost sons, and someone who had so much wonderful association with Prabhupada has not spoken, there was a rebellion with him. The only way he could put down the rebellion is that he had to speak. So Madhavisa Prabhu spoke about it. And then another hour. So when I was hearing all the glorification, I was thinking, oh, I know. These Vaishnavas, they, you know, Kunda Maharaj. Actually, Prabhupada said that there, he told Dr. Charyamaraj, he said that the spiritual master actually travels birth after birth with certain confidential disciples. I started saying Guru Maharaj, he's such a humble devotee. He became like a lion. He jumped up, tried to grab the microphone, so I couldn't finish his name. He'd say, here, Guru Maharaj! Not here yet. Can't see the microphone. And then when I was hearing Prabhupada Vishnu Maharaj, one of these so-called devotees. So, Satsuru Maharaj? What would this going to be without these devotees? What would we really, how could we appreciate Śrīla Prabhupāda? And the fact that Satsuru Maharaj, we were reading Līla Mita, Prabhupāda was reading Līla Mita, and I was thinking, what a wonderful contribution he made to the Vaishnava community. That Līla Mita is no less than any of the other scriptures that we have. It's absolute because it's about the activities of the pure devotee, Śrīla Prabhupāda, by one of his intimate disciples, close disciples, who I don't know how to remember them. Of course, he went and took interviews and so forth and so on. It's so expertly done, capturing the mood of Śrīla Prabhupāda. We're eternally indebted to Satsuru Maharaj. So in the Satsuru Maharaj key,
die.
The world is indebted to him. So, to understand our Guru, we need the association of our godbrothers and godsisters. One time Prabhupada said, you're all my parts and parcels. So each part, just like each part manifests another. When you see all the Vaishnavas, this is the beauty of this festival in Govardhan. There were so many senior men. And when each of them came and spoke, or each of them came and did kirtan, each of them, we were intermingling with them, then you could appreciate a special quality in each of them. They had a special appreciation of Śrīla Prabhupāda. They had a special type of mercy from Śrīla Prabhupāda. So each of them was wonderful in their own way. And each devotee in this movement is wonderful in their own way. To truly honor this centennial, we must also honor all the devotees. That is one of the best ways you can honor Śrīla Prabhupāda, is to honor his devotees. He even said that himself. The proof of your love will be how you cooperate with each other. Not just cooperation, but appreciating. If we try to appreciate Prabhupada, we neglect his disciples. It's like trying to approach Krishna without the Guru. So, if we really want to appreciate Śrīla Prabhupada, we should honor his disciples and his grand disciples. And even that person who comes, during this year, steps in the temple for the first time, Some respect must be given. You perceive Prabhupada's mercy. Om Adhyan Tivarandasya Ginangana Shalakaya Chaksunamitam Jainatasmasi. Your eyes have been opened. On the torch side of transcendental knowledge, most people come to this movement through Prabhupada's books. If you take them seriously, you find 98% of devotees came as a real given book, or reading a book, hearing the philosophy. So Prabhupada gets all the credit. So that person is a recipient of Prabhupada's mercy, therefore that person's special. Of course, it's up to him, in due course of time, how he will take advantage of that mercy. But Confucius said, the longest journey begins with the first step. So even if one takes an initial step into Krishna consciousness, it's a big step, huge, to make a conscious decision, I will give up this nasty material life, which means I, me, and mine, just me. A little bit of inclination, let me serve the Lord. And the Ramayana has stated that if one comes before the Lord with folded hands and says, my dear Lord, for so long I have forgotten you, but from this day on, I am yours. And Krishna accepts that surrender, so So to honor Prabhupada means to honor all of his devotees, and I'm sure that as the year goes on, we'll hear this again and again, and we'll see that Mayapur, when we're assembling there to glorify Srila Prabhupada, we'll be able to appreciate Prabhupada through the Vaya medium, the transparent Vaya medium of his devotees. I appreciate everyone's offering to Krishna. Just like this wonderful temple. So wonderful. I'm seeing this as Kalasambhara's offering to Srila Prabhupada. Of course, so many of you have collected for him, but I think that he was a transcendental artistic genius behind this wonderful Vyasa sign, which Guna Gaya Maharaj was saying, you know, just glorifying him like anything if we were driving in. I would have never thought of using this. I would just use saffron or something. Right out of this purplish brown pillows, but I was thinking this morning, a real artist, he knows how to, you know, use shadows to accent the light. That's the beauty of the great masters of Rembrandt. He uses the shadows, the dark. You put dark in the painting, and you bring that. If I was a painter, I'd put all yellow and green and saffron, light blue. You know, like the old days, we paint all the walls blue and the ceiling pink. This was very artistic. You see the dark pillows there, those are all not so beautiful. So, with all due respect to the devotees, we have to be incredibly awesome. Barbara, okay. So, like that, we glorify the devotee, then Prabhupada, he's glorified also because he's giving intelligence to all his sincere servants. So, Hari Guru Vaishnava. Now Gita. Given us the complete process of honoring Vaishnavas, the spiritual master, and Krishna, intimately intertwined in this wonderful process of Bhakti Yoga. Natara Shiman Bhagavatam Ki
Jai
Shiva Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Shiva Prabhupada Centennial Ki
Jai
Shiva Prabhupada's ever expanding family Ki
Jai
Lord Feminine Lee. So we won't take any questions a little late, but you can see it as well.